Hello, mech fans, and welcome to the Valhalla Club. Grab yourself a Timbiki Dark, set up that paint booth, open that spreadsheet, and join us as we talk all things Battletech.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Valhalla Club podcast. Tonight, I am joined by our host, Ben, and a guest host, NC Kestrel, also known as Josh, the writer of the Alpha Strike rules, big part on the master unit list, and just a general big voice into the doings of Catalyst Game Labs. Tonight, we are going to pump Josh for information on the upcoming Force manuals. The ones we know about now are Davian, Karita, and Mercenaries. And we just want to learn more about these upcoming products from the man himself. So strap in, find something strong to drink, and let's get this thing started. So Josh, welcome to the Valhalla Club.
Hey, thanks for having me.
For our listeners' benefit, what are the Force manuals, and how can players use them?
Force manuals are basically where we try to put all the faction-based flavor for playing Battletech into. So all the stuff, you know, you can't fit into the main rule book, all the little details for every faction. So we're putting them in the Force manual so you can get your favorite faction or whichever faction you want to play against, whichever way you want to do it. And it'll tell you, you know, the history of that faction, all the stuff you need to know so that, you know, when you're saying you're playing the Federated Suns and you show up at a game and somebody says, I'm going to beat you like at Kentaurius, you know what they're referencing. And then, you know, all the various hooks that the game has for command abilities and pilot abilities and what units are available to for you to have something that's a house force for that. These are set, since Battletech is such a wide time frame, these are specific to that late Succession Wars era, the 3020s, the 3040s, and then into the Clan Invasion, the 3050s, is what these will cover.
Yeah, probably the most popular eras to be played.
Yeah, and then for the current era, the Ill-Clan era, we're going to have a PDF supplemental, an Ill-Clan supplemental, that is released in, you know, after the release of the main book. We'll then have the PDF supplemental. The thing allows you to take create a force in that era.
Will these supplementals be included in the price of purchase, or are they treated as add-ons?
They will be separate products.
Okay.
Partially because that's how the system works. Like, it's especially like, you know, trying to sell in a store and then sell at CGL's website and, you know, sell at a convention. Really packaging them together we don't have a system for handling that.
I see. And who are these for? I mean, it sounds like they're for gamers. Is this for classic Battletech or Alpha Strike?
That is one of the major differences with the old combat manual series. And the reason, one of the reasons we renamed them is that the old combat manuals were Alpha Strike. The Force manuals will cover both equally.
Okay.
So both if there is a custom mech that somebody is piloting, we will have both the Alpha Strike stats and we'll have a record sheet.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
Yeah. So both will be covered equally. You will need campaign operations for Classic if you're using any of the command abilities or pilot abilities, since that's what those rules are. But everything works with both.
Okay. That's very cool. And you said these upcoming Force manuals are going to replace the existing combat manuals?
Yeah, Kurita and Mercenaries had combat manuals published years ago, and so we're going to update them because we've also made some changes to the format in addition to that. So those are sort of updated reprints will be coming out, and then Davion was written but then canceled. So it's then also gotten updated to the new format. And then all of these have new art. There's a new unit availability system And we also expanded them. The old combat manuals only covered up till about 3054, that initial clan invasion. And we've expanded these, so we've added a new era, the late clan invasion, so you can get all the...
The cover, would that be like Serpent? And
it ends right as Serpent is kicking off.
Okay, okay.
So you can make a force that was for Serpent, but it's not going to go into what... Like, Davion is not going to have all the Smoke Jaguar salvage from...
Sure, Serpent. Right.
That's why sense. I ended it there. I was like, yeah, we're not... That's a whole different... When you especially talk about building a force, that changes a lot of things in the Inner Sphere after that.
Yes, the proliferation of clan tech is huge.
Yeah. But yeah, the late clan invasion gets into all the 3055, the Falconers, the Fireballs and stuff like that, and the 3058 mix. So where we got the first complete massive numbers of new instead of upgraded, it's not take your old Griffin and upgrade it. It's now, hey, this is a completely new mech.
Interesting.
So we did get to add those in.
And in these books, it'll clearly distinguish the late clan invasion from the early? Because I know using the master unit list, it's covered as one era.
Yeah, so we split it into three eras. The late succession wars, the early clan invasion, and the late clan invasion.
Okay.
So it won't get into individual years.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's something we've done a little different, where the idea is that you can take the force manuals, and if I have Davion, you have Gerda, we can say we're going to make a late succession wars battle. And we'd both be building units of the same theme.
Okay.
But it doesn't... So, like, on the master unit list, we list anything that was introduced, like, in the 3048 is still listed as late succession wars. In these books, we don't.
Okay. So, that makes sense. Yeah, so because you wouldn't really see them until the clan. Right.
Yeah. And the idea is that it should actually fit most of the era, not just the trail end of the era.
That's so cool. I like that. And that is a little different from Master Unit List.
Yeah. That was one change from how... One of the major changes from how the Master Unit List does it. There's some other changes, too, which we can get into. But the idea is that you should make a force for that era, and it should fit most of that era. Kurita does have a separate list because it had so many changes in the War of 3039. It does have that... Yeah. That extra list to cover that.
It's the influx of Comstar technology, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Those
okay.
And things that came out of that. Sometimes it wasn't even new technology, but definitely mechs that they didn't have before. That new charger and stuff like that.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. So we made an exception there. But like the early clan invasion, even though time wise that would go up to like 3054. Some of those 3055 mechs actually came out in 3054, but they're not put in the early clan invasion list because that's not really what we mean when you say you're having a battle in the early clan invasion. You're thinking, you know, Tukyid or shortly thereafter, not later. So those get pushed into the late clan invasion.
Okay.
So hopefully that'll go well. That's the general idea.
Yeah, I like it a lot, you know, where it's... It sounds like it's based on its actual availability, not just when it entered service. It's kind of a little bit more nuanced. While we're talking about it, you said that this also differs from force construction, the master unit list, in a few different ways. And I think before you mentioned rarity of mechs. Mm-hmm. So while we're talking about force building and kind of in the nitty gritty, can you tell us a little bit more about what people can expect and what new changes they'll see in these force manuals?
Yeah. So with the rarity, so both the Master Unit List and the old combat manuals would say this unit's available to the faction. The combat manuals went a little bit further in saying these ones are salvaged, these ones are from an ally. You know, Steiner sold it to Davion or whatever. And so they should have a little less availability. With the force manuals, we went to listing an availability code for every unit we list. So it's either iconic, common, uncommon, or rare, if it's listed. And then there's some general rules where they're usually per company. You know, the restrictions get doubled if you have two companies or three or whatever, if you're doing a literally large battle. But you can only have one rare per company. You can only have two of an uncommon mech. Mm-hmm. And you can't have like more than half your force be uncommon.
Okay.
So whenever you use the force manual to build a Davion unit, most people should be able to look at it and go, yeah, I think that is a Davion unit. It is more restrictive than some people are used to with Battletech.
Sure.
If they want to, Battletech players are well used to ignoring rules they don't like anyway, especially when it comes to availability. But we wanted to have a structure there where it says, you know, we're telling you this is a faction book for this faction. If you build a force from it, you know, you should not have a company of direwolves coming out of this book saying it's a Federated Suns force.
Sure.
You should look at it and you should at least see some units that are expected. But that rarity also gives us options to list lots of other units that normally would not, even in the master unit list, would not be included. Salvage, for example.
Right.
We can list, right. Some unusual salvage in there.
I'm interested to hear how that kind of coincides with the lore, because, you know, a lot of the early Battletech kind of stories have mechs as being extremely limited. Especially some of players', you know, favorite mechs, like Marauders and Warhammers, you know, they're supposed to be pretty rare sights. So does that correlate here where, you know, those mechs will be rare and you'll only be having one per company?
Well, the idea is still that how many mechs you have is going to be decided by you. That's how big of a game do you want to play.
Okay.
But if you're playing House Davion and you want to take Valkyries, you can take Valkyries all you want.
Sure.
Mass producing them. But if you sit there and say, I want a Grasshopper, yeah, they have them, but you're not grabbing a Lance or a company of them. And if you grab, I don't remember if the Grasshoppers, it's either uncommon or rare, but I don't remember which, it's going to restrict other options. So you can't just sit there and take all of these rares. And you look at that list and go, those are all mechs. But you definitely, you know, we're scrounging some junk to find those. So that's the idea, is that we want to keep that wide availability where, yeah, anything could really show up in a Battletech force for any faction. But that's not an excuse to just grab all of those.
Okay.
So that was the idea. Plus, even if you don't, if players don't use the specific rules for that system, I think a lot of players want to know this kind of idea. Like the random allocation tables before that were in books, players, even if they weren't using random rules, would look at them to see which ones were more common or uncommon. So I think a lot of players will be interested in that.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool change to make it a little bit more literal. This is extremely common, you know, Blackjack in the late Succession Wars for Federated Suns, extremely common. But then, like you said, a Grasshopper is going to be a pretty rare sight.
Yeah.
Off topic question. Is this with the release of the Force Manuals, Josh, do you think this is going to drive some changes in the mole assignment and allotment of units and things? Or is the mole going to kind of stay the same the way it is and the Force Manuals kind of do their own thing?
The initial release of the new Master Unit List is mostly going to be replicating what it does now, with the addition of the Battletech record sheets should plan to be in there. But most of everything else is going to be very similar. There's going to be some small changes, but not enough that I would like, oh, go use the new one because it does things differently. There's some small improvements, but it's not huge new features except for the record sheets. After they've got that base built, then we'll be talking about what do we want it to do that's an improvement. And I will definitely be pushing to include the Force Manual availability system, because that will determine how much people actually use it.
Right. Right.
You know, okay. There's plenty of things that you could put in print and some people will do it, but especially if you've already got a master unit list force builder that does a different system.
Right.
You're asking people to do a lot of work manually instead of doing something automated. And
right.
They may like it, but they might not like it that much. So the combination of needing to get more force manuals so that there's more of a selection of factions that people can choose from, and the master unit list being updated to automate the system, I definitely, I think, are huge as far as reaching that level of success with the force manuals.
Yeah, I wasn't aware that the MUL was due for an update. Adding the record sheets to it's going to be huge.
Yeah, that's going to be in the upcoming months.
Okay. Very cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Ben, do you have any more kind of details while we're in the nitty gritty before we move on to the next question?
No, I don't think so. You know, I was just curious if we're going to, if the, you know, you talked about the early succession war, late succession war, or early clan invasion, late clan invasion being the quote unquote eras in the force manuals. Do you see that as becoming a change to like the current mole availability kind of thing where it's, you know, clan invasion and then it jumps to FedCom Civil War and then it jumps to jihad, you know, are the force manuals going to drive any of that change, or is that going to stay the same and the force manual is going to be their own little separate world over there?
Well, I hope eventually the force manual system, the whole iconic common, et cetera, gets added to the master unit list. And when that happens, then the errors will come with it. I don't think it'll happen if the force manual rarity codes don't get implemented into the master unit list. I don't think we will split those errors.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think they'll come together as a package.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, fingers crossed, but I hope they do. I mean, I'm someone who really likes making thematic lists, so anything that makes that easier would be great.
Yes. That's been my major desire for the master unit list is to get beyond just listing units and get more of this is a tool for enabling games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, there was a way back in the day, we took something from the forums where they broke down the introduction of every single weapon system by year. And we list and incorporated that into our games from like the session war type. You had to go and attack a factory just to get a medium pulse lever or something a certain year, but you couldn't do it until we had things. So it was kind of a neat way to enable the game to kind of progress with the weapons introductions, mech introductions, that kind of stuff. So I always thought that was kind of cool. You know, if we could get the mold to break it down by a year. It's probably a larger task than I'm just saying it sounds insane.
Well, that would be one advantage of getting this force manual system into right. it is that we could then incorporate those intro dates that are on the master unit list as well. So that's too much data to put in a print book. Not so much as data, but people can't manipulate it. So they can't sort. They can't filter. When you start getting into individual years in the book and people having to filter tables like that, nobody's going to be doing that. But if we had the era codes in the master unit list and then the master unit list had when did this mech actually, what year, then you could start saying, okay, we're going to use that system, but we're going to play specifically in 3045.
Right.
Filter out the ones that are available, not available at that time, and that would definitely help that. But I still think the errors would be a huge jump because that's what most of the time people are playing. That's what they're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily thinking, you know, they're getting a specific scenario if they want. We're doing, you know, Tikhonov in 3028. That's you're looking at a scenario book at that time, not a faction wide book.
Right. Right. Okay. That answers. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd say so. So the initial three will be Kurita, Davian, and Mercenary.
Yeah.
Will there
Davian be first, and then Kurita and Mercenaries in that order.
Okay. Now, obviously, the Draconis Combine and Federated Sons are, you know, enemies, nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
Any future releases in the Force Manual series, will that be following kind of the same principle where they'll be paired off? Like adversaries, you know, like Clan Wolf and Clan Jade Falcon, for example.
Well, the next one after Mercenaries will be Invading Clans. So we're going to do all seven Invading Clans in a Force Manual. So we're expecting it's going to be about double the size of the House books. But yeah, we're working on that one now. That'll be the next one.
That sounds awesome. I'm a big Jade Falcon guy. Ben is too.
What?
We've gotten, yeah. We've slid that one because we've had the, the first three were all written by Jeff Swift.
Mm-hmm.
And for Invading Clans, when the first one we've gotten other writers get in, we've got a bunch of writers that have gotten their favorite clan that they're writing for, and then some that are getting stuck with other clans. But it's really exciting because it's one that early clan invasion that was before the Field Manual series started. There's a lot of details that are missing. Like, you think those clans are well covered, but some of them are not really covered well at all. Smoke Jaguars. well, because the Field Manuals came after they were destroyed, so all that information that was in those books just doesn't exist for them. And then some of it, like Wolf, went through so many changes by the time the Field Manuals came out, that detailing what they actually had before the Refusal War is cool.
Yeah, okay. And that's one of those things too. I mean, you look at the original Wolf Clan source book or the original Jade Falcon source book, and then the Invading Clan source book, where, you know, it tried to grab the rest of them and put it in the same type of format, but it just didn't have the space to do it, you know, like it did with, I mean, Clan Wolf is like detailed down to the star level, you know, same with Jade Falcon, but most of your other ones, in the Invading series or the Invading Clan source book, that was, you know, that was all the rest of them. Smoke Jags, Ghost Bear, Star Adders, or not Star Adders, Steel Vipers, and the Nova Cats. So, you know, you just didn't get that level of detail that you got with Jade Falcon and Wolf. So it's going to be cool to see, you know, each clan to get their own little source book for that piece, you know?
Yeah, we've had so many questions as we've gone through it.
I bet. Yeah, the Battletech fandom is a dedicated fandom. We get our jimmies rustled pretty easily. Things have to be right.
Yes, very much so.
Now, Swift, for all the, like, you and Ben, people I politely refer to as old fogies, is an old voice in Battletech. So the Force Manuals have been a long time coming. Can you tell us a bit about their creation and then the process between conception and delivery? And it sounds like it spanned years.
Well, yeah. So Davion was written 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
The combat manuals were canceled. So the whole thing was written. There was no art. There was no layout, no editing, not even fact check yet. But all of it was written. And then we had been pushing, because the combat manuals and the force manuals have been, Ray Araskia has been pushing them as a concept. They were his concept. He really wanted them, and he was as disappointed they were canceled as pretty much anybody else. So for a long time, we're trying to, you know, figure out when we could get them back in print. But then basically the core game had to get in a better position first. We were trying to sell supplements to a game, particularly for Alpha Strike. We didn't have a box set. We didn't have the player base. Selling supplements to a game you're not selling does not work well.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, most people have forgotten about this, but the combat manuals were the first redesigns of the mechs were released. The original Warhammer, Marauder, Wasp, Shadowhawk, all of those, the redesigns were first done for those combat manuals. And then a game of Armored Combat came out later.
And just to clarify, you mean the modern art currently used, but
yes,
was
the new art, so we didn't have the miniatures yet because the box set had to come out later. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they were doing the work of, you know, Scroggins was doing those. That's when he started redesigning all of them. But the cost of that was being borne by a supplement book. So we just cannot sell enough of a supplement book to pay those costs. Miniatures, they cost enough, they sell enough, they can pay for that redesign work. But a supplement book for Alpha Strike, just there was no way it could afford those costs. So that's what we were looking at. There was a lot of talk at the time about, oh, it's because they're faction books. that's why they didn't sound like they sold as well as any other book, you know, outside of a rule book. The rule books always sell better, but any source book that we put out, you know, the jihad source books, the plot source books, anything like that, the combat manual sold as well as any of them, maybe even slightly better.
Yeah.
But they were more expensive because they were paying for all this 3D modeling and this design work. Source supplements don't sell enough books to make that money. So that's why they had to be canceled. It's like they cannot be driving this transformation of BattleTech. A supplement can't do that. We needed a game of armored combat. We need the beginner box. We need the Kickstarter from Clan Invasion that brought out all those force packs. Now, once those are paying for that design work, now we can have all these other source books, Tomorrow Rising, all the other source books that have all this fantastic art that is based upon those redesigns. They're just paying for instances of the redesigns, not all that redesign work.
I see.
So yeah. that's why we can bring them back now, is now we've got a larger fan base. The design costs are being borne by miniatures that can pay for them. And so, you know, even at the time, the combat manuals, lots of people were like, because they were also one of the first full color source books. Like, there used to be sections that were full color, but the combat manuals were one of the first BattleTech books that were full color all the way through.
Okay.
But now we can do that. We've seen that with other source books, the Tomorrow Rising series in particular.
Okay. So they were almost not a segue, but start of like a new era, I guess I would say, for BattleTech fiction and publication, because these were the first that were in full color. They started incorporating modern art.
Yeah, and that was Ray's idea from the beginning when he was pushing the line in particular, but also the series was that he wanted to transform BattleTech visually.
That's awesome. Yeah,
and so he's been pushing that, and then it was just we can't start with these. We need to get the core of the game done first. That's why the combat manuals were canceled. Once now we have all that done, now we're like, okay, now we can bring back the force manuals. And, you know, I expect they'll do, just because of where BattleTech is now, the force manuals will easily outsell what the combat manuals are doing. And, you know, that's why we are continuing, even though we initially said we were just going to do the three sort of as a, we're not going to commit beyond that. We've already started on the work on ones after that, because we're like, yeah, these
anticipating success. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other source books have proven that this can work, and we do have the Kickstarter numbers for the people that have purchased it, and then we also know like distributor interest and stuff like that, you know.
Right. I mean, BattleTech is at Barnes and Noble. I mean, how cool is that?
Oh yeah, so much has changed since those combat manuals first came out. It's night and day different.
Now this next question isn't going to pertain to the manuals. This is just my own interest. As a player on one hand, and then as a developer on the other, what's your take on kind of the BattleTech renaissance? Now, I didn't play in the 90s, but it seems like this is the most robust and popular BattleTech has ever been.
Yeah, so I started with Catalyst Game Labs as a volunteer around 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And it was already, I was already hearing at the time, there would be comments like, Catalyst Game Labs used to be carried by BattleTech, and now Shadowrun's carrying BattleTech. Comments like that, where there was already an awareness that that they were trying to find, okay, well, what do we need to do? Something not quite working right here. And many, many things were done by volunteers. Not writing, but a lot of stuff that has moved beyond that. And then they started doing more PDFs, and much of it was because they didn't think the books could sell enough to be worth a print run.
Sure.
And so there was just basically every time you came up with an idea and pitched an idea, it had a very high ceiling of, you know, everybody had ideas for things that needed to be done, and very few things could get done.
Sure.
And now it is completely flipped, where we cannot keep up with all the things that we need to do now. There are so many products being made. They're all flying off the shelves. And like, people are like, well, can you do this? It's really simple. I'm like, there is no simple spots anymore. We've already filled the, you know, we've already got a wish list that's 100 times what we could do with the major products. The minor products, we've already got, you know, 1,000 times those. So, yeah, it's completely flipped. We're now, the focus is entirely like, okay, who's going to make this? What resources do you need? Because we've got to share them with everybody that has stuff that needs to be made.
Well, I mean, that's got to be a nice problem to have in comparison.
It is. It is definitely better, but
it's also a frustrating
first time. I had the first time I had to say no to a project. I said, no, I'm not taking another project on. And it was Ilkhan's Eyes Only, which, you know, has been, at least for me, and I think for lots of other people, has been a great deal of anticipation for. And I was just like, no, I can't take another one. I had been doing the rules annexes for those books. And I said, no, can't do it. Got too many things I'm working on. So that's a definite change from before. It was where it was definitely, I can do whatever on any product. Yeah, let me do it. And we're trying to find, you know, we're training more people, trying to expand the staff to get more done because the demand's there. We just got to figure out how to meet it.
With what you have. Sure, sure. Well, appreciate the information and the perspective. Getting back to the force manuals, for the upcoming manuals, what are some of your favorite parts? What are you most excited to see be released to the public and be digested?
On a personal level, my favorite part is the Kestrel Grenadiers.
Okay.
So that's just purely for me. I just, the chance to have something with the Kestrel Grenadiers and a book I'm working on is awesome. The art in this book is fantastic. Spooky has done most of the art for this one. We've been kind of going through a different featured artist for each of the Force Manuals. So Spooky did the cover art and has done all the chapter art and a lot of the mech illustrations throughout the book of the Davion. And then I didn't check, so I wasn't. But somebody else did Kurita, and I'll have to check on who that was.
Okay.
And then Mercenaries, I think, is getting more of a mix. I'll check. The art on that one's just coming in. So that's always one of my favorite parts of working on the books is when the art comes in and then the layout is like transforms it from, no matter how well written, it transforms it from a Word document into a book.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Big change, right? Yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah. And then it's something we kept from the old combat manuals, so the action at the end that is a painted miniature that shows every paint scheme for every unique paint scheme in that faction.
Whoa.
So it's something like 50, I think, for Davion.
Yeah,
so
I was going to say, that's a lot of paint samples.
So it's like a 4-page spread.
Are these actual pictures of like painted miniatures, or are these digital renders?
They are actual miniatures.
Wow. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. So there is, and it's kind of interesting because some of them, like the whole Davion Brigade of Guards, we've got two. So we've got the flag, the blue on the outsides, white down the middle, and then red down the very center. And then also the one that's mostly blue with white and red single stripes going down the side. But then the Crucis Lancers are all in a sort of Davion green, and they've all got a different accent color. So we had to show the first, the second, the third, the fourth.
Yeah.
So we had to show each of those individually. So some of them get more than others, but if it's got a different paint scheme, no matter how minor the difference is, we've shown each of them. Wow. So there's an example in there.
Okay.
And some of them are new. Some of them have not been seen before. Some of the academy training cadres have not had paint schemes before.
Sure.
So those will be new in this book. So that's awesome. We've got some new art for the uniforms. There's a field and dress uniform for the faction that's illustrated.
And oh, wow. Then, for the personnel. Okay.
Yeah. That was actually one of the last additions to the book. Mark Hayden was doing layout, and he was like, okay, I'm going to do a page with all the rank insignia, because we had a sidebar with listing all the ranks that are in the Federated Sons. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to put the rank insignia, and then I'm going to put the uniforms. And Ray was like, we're not putting the old uniform art. So he's like, but I need uniform art. And Ray was like, okay, we're going to go fine. So literally the book was in layout and about to be finished. And we're like, nope, we need more art. We need uniform art. So, but that came out awesome. And of course, Matt Larson's been doing all these unit lists, so he's been putting all those rarity codes on every single unit available to House Davion. Those are cool.
What else? Are you saying? I'm sorry. Maybe misunderstood you. Are you saying that for some units, even within the faction, they'll have different availability of mechs?
There's a couple regiments that'll say they have some special availability, but no, not whole lists for every regiment.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
But just the Crusader 3R is common. The Highlander 733P is a rare salvage mech.
Yeah.
Matt had to go through, and we actually split them by the formation types.
Okay.
So there is generally two pages. So there's two pages. They're opposing pages, so you can see that this is a Davion Assault Lance, and it lists a standard lance. So here's four. You take these four, they're a Davion Assault Lance. And there's a bunch of alternates. You can mix and match these. Rules-wise, you can grab a unit from a different formation. This is purely just as a way to help organize this for somebody that's just, I don't know how to build the House Davion Force, recommend something for me.
Gotcha.
So it doesn't actually, rules-wise, it doesn't matter where it's listed, but that was the way we wanted to get it. Because there's that huge struggle of, there's 10,000 mechs when you're going to build a force. How do you get somebody from, I went to build a House Davion Force, to actually picking units. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to go through the formation so you could pick one of the 10 formations, assault, battle, command. We'll give you an immediate, here's a lance for you. If you want to go in more, here's some alternates that would go in an assault lance. Players will then get into...
You basically give players a template, and then from there they can adjust it as they want.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. It's sort of like here's art type and here's options.
Yeah. That's cool. So
it's not a rules restriction.
That sounds pretty accessible. Yeah.
Yeah. If the Warhammer 60 is listed in the Battle Lance and you want it in the Command Lance, that's perfectly legal. But the organization is just to help people filter that down. And then those will be the splits by era too. So the first it'll be all the late Succession Wars one. Then it will be, here's a Davion early clan invasion assault lance and the alternates. Here's a late clan invasion assault lance and then all the alternates.
Okay. Well, great. Moving, kind of zooming back a little, all of these manuals will receive an ill clan addendum at some point in the future. Can you tell us more about those, what they will contain, and when we can expect them?
Sure. I can't give a hard time of when they'll be available, but we're looking for a small number of months afterwards.
Okay.
It won't be the same day, but I would like for it to be the next month.
Okay.
But we'll see how that actually goes, because basically...
And these will have the same kind of availability rating for units in the Ilclan era for these factions.
Yes.
Is that right?
Okay. They will actually have four eras. We're going to do four for unit availability. There'll be the Ilclan era, Dark Age, Jihad, and Civil War.
Oh wow! Oh, so the even though they're named the Ilclan addendum, they're basically everything between the Force manual terminating in the clan invasion, all the way up to the current era.
It'll only list commands that still exist in the Ilclan era.
So if you got nuked in the Jihad, you're out of luck.
Right. So I'm trying to think of a Davion one that was I did break the rule and included like the ones that were destroyed in the early Dark Age.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't hold it that far, but yeah, Jihad's a good example of something. A regiment was destroyed in the Jihad. It won't be listed in the Ilclan supplemental.
Okay.
But if you have an Ilclan era Davion Guard unit, it's going to have mechs all the way back through all those eras. So we had to list them all, and we went ahead and split them in because there's also an optional system. We added back the old tech ratings, equipment ratings.
Oh, wow.
So one regiment may be A-rated, unless your unit might be D or F-rated. And there's optional rules that say, well, if you're an A-rated unit, you have to use half your units have to be from the Oakland era, and all of them have to be within Dark Age or Oakland. If you're a D-rated unit, maybe you're allowed to have an Oakland era unit, but you might be reaching back to the Clan Invasion to pull units for that one.
That's very interesting, because that is, and at least my understanding, that's very different from the Master Unit List as it is now.
Yeah. Yeah, the Master Unit List doesn't distinguish between those at all.
Interesting. Okay.
It's complicated to build a force that way, because now you've added those eras, equipment ratings on top of all the other rules, the rarity codes and all that. So I made it optional, but it's there for players that want to go into that or just want to argue over it. It's there. And it does add a lot more flavor to, even if you don't use the rules themselves, people like knowing, you know, this one is currently out of favor with the high command and it's not getting upgrades. So it's got a C rating while the rest of the brigade has a B or something like that. Okay. But that's why we kept those splits and eras so that.
This is very interesting. Not having seen the product, my impression of it from your description is that it sounds a lot more granular and thematic than what currently exists on the MU.
Yeah.
Also much more literal than what currently exists in source books, where you have like a random access table, rat. Instead, you're explicitly stating like, well, this is common, or no, sorry, this is extremely rare. So this is really interesting. It's a kind of different take on it. It'd be interesting to see how it's received by other people. I'm excited.
I'm excited for when we get to the mercenaries.
Oh,
I'm sure you all know, mercenaries have always been, well, they get everything.
Yeah.
So the mercenaries book is going to have, if you pick a regiment that has traditionally worked with Capellan Federation, you're going to have access to Capellan Federation mechs in addition to a much more tighter general list. Sure. And you're going to have some salvage from the Federated Sons or Free Worlds League, but you're not going to get Steiner mechs.
Right, and you're not going to have a Jenner. Yeah.
Right. So the idea is that, yes, mercenaries in general can have a wide range of things, and those are going to be by era as well. So if you work for the Capellan Federation in the late Succession Wars, but you worked for Draconis Combine in the late Clan Invasion, you'll get Combine late Clan Invasion, but you'll get Capellan Federation late Succession Wars. So instead of just being, you get everything, it's like, no, it should actually reflect the history of that unit, where they've been, who they fought against, that sort of thing. So that one, I've been, Matt and I have been going back and forth a couple times where I've been trying to get him to get the general mercs tightened a little more and get a little more faction flavor in there. If I make him do all the hard work.
I would love to see those things implemented in pickup games. That'd be great. You know, where I am someone that likes being fluffy, so like I like being a little bit more constrained. Where
who likes being fluffy? Never mind. Don't answer that.
What? What do you mean?
It's not me.
I take thematic lists. You take thematic lists and then add a Scarabus to it or a Fireball.
It's part of their allotment. Not a Dasher. I don't own a Dasher.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. I'm always the Rough Riders anyway.
You know, I think the Federated Sons have Dashers in the Ill Clan. There.
Can't do it. They're cheese.
That's where I draw the line.
Everybody has Dashers.
Yeah, I know. I can't do it.
I am speed.
That's what the Fireball's for. Oh, that's what the Gunsmith is for.
Gunsmith is fast, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. These sound great, Josh. Like, I'm really excited to see these in person once they're released. And they're coming with... They were added as add-on for the Kickstarter, correct? And their release...
The first one, Davian, yep.
Davian, okay. And their release commercially will be tied into when the Kickstarter ships, I assume?
Yeah, so if the Kickstarter ships this month, maybe next month, we'll start hearing a retail date. If it takes longer, then maybe, but basically if the Kickstarter has to get shipped first, and then we'll find out how long it takes it to switch warehouses and get advertised to be available to distributors and stuff like that. So I don't know if that'll be 1 month later or 2 months later. Once I send it off to the printer, I hear the same as everybody else does about when it'll actually become available. Kirita was already sent to the printer a long while back, It's actually, it's going to be delayed so it doesn't come out the same time as Davion. Just retailers do not like everything coming out at the same time. So, sure. You know, it'll be a couple months after whenever Davion comes out, but Gerda's ahead of schedule. So it'll just be a matter of giving it that spacing between the books.
Okay. Well, that's very exciting news.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to add it to my wish list over at Aries. I want it now, and I feel bad that I missed out by adding on the manager. I overlooked it.
Yeah, they snuck it in there, but it was actually good that they snuck it in there, because as we've heard with lots of other products, if it wasn't in the Kickstarter, it had to wait for the Kickstarter. So the fact that it got listed there meant, yeah, we got to make it, because it was sitting there waiting for I think a little bit for art, but mostly for layout. And so if it hadn't been in that Kickstarter or the pledge manager, it would have been in competition for those resources from books that were in the Kickstarter, and it would have been bumped.
Sure.
But they were like, nah, it has to go. So, and that's also why it got included in there, because it was so close to being ready to go. They were like, we could put this in there. We could. and somebody convinced Vince Lauren.
Yeah, right. Put it in there. Just sneak it in the queue. It's ready to go.
Is that or more dice?
Yeah, more dice. More patches. More dice. That covers all of my questions I had about the Force manual. Ben, do you have any additional questions? I know you have a unique perspective with all those crayons you've eaten.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, that's what us Marines do, man. We eat crayons and, you know, break things.
Done.
Yep. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I know I'm a rabid connoisseur of the MUL and all the field manuals and the combat manuals and all that stuff to do my research that I need to do for things that I do. So,
how many tabs do you have open on the MUL right now?
Only four.
Only four. Okay. Bless you. Bless your heart.
Just four.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, you know, players complain whenever it's low or whatever, and I'm like, I'm trying to do work here and I can't get the message.
If it's all you guys with four tabs open and then you walk away for 3 days and come back and they're still there.
Like, I need battle values for all these units. Mm-hmm.
Oh man. No, I think it's gonna be cool. I'm really stoked to see some combat manuals. You know, the first two back in the day, Curita and Mercenaries, were huge play aids, if you will, for a lot of groups and things. And, you know, I think by doing this, by bringing the combat manuals into play again, you'll see a ramp up of more thematic type games, which is always a good thing.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's the plan.
Well, is there anything that I overlooked, Josh, or anything you'd like to add about them before we move on?
Well, because we all know that new units will always sell a book. I'll mention that there's usually around 10 new, and they're all, well, mostly uniques. You know, they're custom rides for people. So there's about 10 record sheets in each of the Force manuals.
Nice.
That's always fun.
I have to wonder who they are. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always cool to be able to play with some of those unique things, you know. You know, you see it a lot in the spotlight ons or in the turning points, where, you know, you'll have one or two record sheets in the back of some of them, not all of them, but where it's specific to that campaign or specific to that, you know, time and place, you know, in a war or a battle of some type. So that's always kind of a neat thing to add, is just that little unique piece for that place and time kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. While we have you on, Josh, we're going to it's related to the Force manuals and the new availability system that's kind of being pioneered there. And then also with you being kind of the head honcho Alpha Strike guy. I wanted to ask, what do you envision for Alpha Strike going forward? I could be wrong. I feel like it's both Classic and Alpha Strike are growing over the past few years, but I definitely think Alpha Strike is picking up, tends to pick up new players more easily because it's a more approachable system. And there hasn't been really an official tournament set. I think the BTCC had something. I'm not terribly familiar. And I think it's more been something that's been carried by the fans in a lot of ways for like organized events. You know, there's Southern Assault, obviously, it's a big, big Alpha Strike tournament in the West. At least in my experience, the Wolfnet 350 tournament rule set seems to be really popular and is what we use here in Colorado. And mm-hmm. then even going back to the East Coast, you have like DFA guys having their own little kind of like scenario packet and what have you. And so it's all, but up until this point, it's all been unofficial. And now, you know, I think, at least my impression is you're trying to change that a little bit. You know, you have this release of the beta open play kit that you just put up together and released. Mm-hmm. What do you see for Alpha Strike going forward? What do you want from the system? How do you want to engage the players, I guess? And how do you want to see organized play kind of evolve, I guess?
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot to break down there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think the first thing is I don't think the goal is to replace any of the way anybody's playing right now to necessarily replace it. I think the goal is more of, particularly for a brand new player coming in, if they don't have that sort of support, that sort of group around them, that we need to provide more information, a better start for them to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, I think there is push from the retail side. Store owners want to know how they can have BattleTech events.
Sure, absolutely.
And get support from the company. So there is work being done to try to go to that and answer those. But the idea is not to replace Wolfnet or replace, you know, Southern Assault. Ray and Aaron were at the last Southern Assault and were like raving about it to everybody internally at Catalyst Game Labs, for example. I know. And Ray's been very supportive of Wolfnet in the past. He's played they had a game down there in Florida. And so having players come up with those is actually a huge advantage because I think they go with what works for them and it can evolve. And it's at a much faster rate than we can publish books. I mean, it can take 6 months from when Davion went to the printer in October of last year. And it's not going to get released till July. So it's got a huge advantage in reach. If we publish something, you know, reach a lot more players. But at the same time, there's, you know, Alpha Strike Commander's Edition came out in, was it 2013, 14? And it's been in print, you know, new printings in some errata for 10 years. But they're telling me to slow down on changes to it and let's make it a little more organized. Because mm-hmm. the idea should be you put a book in print and you leave it mostly.
Right.
You know, errata should just be small things, which I am learning. So there's definitely a feel that there should be a more responsive way to meet that. And, you know, Wolfnet, Southern Assault, Death from Above, all of those, the Catalyst demo team coming up with events for, you know, official events where Catalyst Game Labs is still a good way to do it. But I think for a long time, BattleTech went so far into let the players do whatever they want to do
mm-hmm.
that we got to the point that we weren't giving any information at all. And so
it was like very permissive. Yeah. I mean,
like
there was
the
a time.
The campaign was like, oh, you want to balance this by number of units? We don't want to tell you you have to use battle value. You could use C-bills. And I think the idea now is still you should have those options, but we need to have a system that we say this actually works, and then you can do something different if you want. Not we don't give you any guidance whatsoever and just say, you know, go read 40 years of publishing history and figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the whole idea between the BattleTech Universe book. We need to get people a way into the game where, like, if you were to introduce somebody to BattleTech, you would have somewhere to point them and say, here's how you go learn the lore. Here's how you learn how to play the game. That's the goal, is to have that on-ramp instead of immediately going into figure it out.
Sure. Yeah, sometimes the sandbox becomes overwhelming.
Yeah. So that's the goal, and that's where that pickup format beta came from, is that we want to have more guidance at the beginning of the rule book, because right now it's sort of, it gives you a little bit of lore overview and immediately jumps into roll for initiative.
Right.
Like, but I don't have a, I'm, where do I put my miniatures? So we need to do more of that, which honestly, at the time when the Alpha Strike rulebook, that first one came out, the whole goal was, you have all these BattleTech books, here's how you play Alpha Strike with it. So the idea was, you already know BattleTech. We just need the Alpha Strike rules to play it. You know, you're using whatever, you know, McCarran's Arvor Cavalry source book from the 80s or 90s, whenever that was, and you want to play that with Alpha Strike, you just need to basically pierce the rules to convert it. But Alpha Strike has come a long way since then. We do have people coming in. This is their introduction to BattleTech, and we really don't do a good job of telling them how to start that. The box set started that. Aaron actually came in while we were making the rule book for that, and he's like, I got a big issue I need y'all to tackle with this first year. This is our on-ramp into playing Alpha Strike. You've got to tell people how to start a game. So that's probably our major goal. The flip side of that also is I'm trying to figure out ways to get all the many BattleTech writers who are not necessarily as into Alpha Strike, but have 20 or more years of experience in BattleTech, how to do the same things in Alpha Strike that they do in BattleTech. They're used to putting map sheets in a table. You know, mm-hmm. When they build a scenario, here's the map sheet you use. The hard part there is convincing them to use the map sheets that are available now. With Alpha Strike, it's, you put terrain. We haven't really given them directions on how to tell people how to set up an Alpha Strike table. Mm-hmm. So that's a major part right now, is sort of building out that, even within Catalyst Game Labs, that process, because we don't have the 40 years of history in that particular end.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely a change for me after, you know, being a longtime classic player. You know, I really didn't learn anything about Alpha Strike until 2020, I think. 2019, somewhere in there, when, you know, I got with Andrew Kroll and, you know, he walked me through it and I was like, okay, I kind of get it. And I was like, all right, where's the maps? He's like, you don't need a map. You just do this, you know? And I was like, oh, okay. All right. That's a interesting way, but you know, now I don't have to cart around maps. I don't have to cart around, you know, other stuff, but I can use, you know, whatever I need to for terrain, you know, going back to the beer and pretzels and bottle caps game, you know?
Yeah. Here's a pile of stuff. Throw it on the table.
Yeah.
Just want to say that Ben has beautiful terrain that he's slaved over, I'm pretty sure.
Hey man, you know, it's, I was like, I got to make the board look good. You know, that's what the eye and draws the players in.
Yeah. Yep. I'm just saying, you're not truly of the people. You talk of bottle caps, but I've seen those hills. I've seen those Hextech hills. I know who you are. Oh, man. I will say, like, big advantage for Alpha Strike in terms of, like, putting events on and growing the community is it has a way higher eye appeal, being in three dimensions and the maps being, you know, more engaging. Like, at least in my experience, it really tends to pull people in when you have a cool table set up, hills and forests and buildings. So
yeah, and I think that's also partially what's driving the Wolfnet events, the Southern Assault, is, you know, it's visually appealing. You go to one of these and you wander around and, like, there's battles going on here. This is awesome.
And you just, you know, especially walking into a game store, you know, the old days of, you know, throwing a couple map sheets down and, you know, running some mechs on them. It's, you know, it works. Everybody kind of knows what it is, but the draw is to terrain, to 3D stuff, to, you know, units you can see and move around, and you don't have to kind of conceptualize what the map would look like if it was 3D, you know? And so I think that's where, you know, talking with newer players at our local events and, you know, national events and stuff, it's always the case that you can tell people that just walk by a row of tables that are just map sheets and minis on it. And you can tell the players that pause at a 3D terrain map, you know, whether it's, yeah, you know, any other game system. Hell, we saw it at Genghis Khan out here in Denver last year with the, I think it was the X-Wing guys. They had like light up billboards on their terrain. They had like moving stuff. And I was like, holy smokes, you guys went all in with this terrain thing. You know, so I think that's where you get that draw from seeing that piece of it. And it's very difficult to do that with Classic compared to Alpha Strike, you know?
Yeah, we're certainly seeing more three-dimensionality in Classic, the taking the map sheets and making hills and stuff to match them. But that's actually where the origins of Alpha Strike came from, was a lot of it came from the Camo Specs side. Mm-hmm. The artist there saying, hey, we're making these fancy, beautiful miniatures. I want to play on a battle that actually matches that. So a lot of the early push for Alpha Strike to exist came from that side of the house, sort of internally.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, you spend as much time painting your minis as those guys do. You're like, well, mm-hmm,
still Quick Strike, the very first Gen Con events, I think, were literally billed as Camo Specs Presents, and they painted all the minis for them. And I was, most people still hadn't heard of it yet, so not as many people had signed up for it as for some of the other events. And this was also, you know, before this whole renaissance where now every table gets filled, you just put the word Battletech on it, that they had full Camo Specs painted armies on both sides playing what is now Alpha Strike on nice terrain boards and everything. And
yeah,
that was actually, I came out of that, and that's when I started writing the rule book, because Quick Strike didn't really have a rule book. It was a short little cliff notes, use these battle force rules, use these rules. And I came back from that and said, but I need an actual rule book for this. I can't keep look up this rule from that book, look up this rule from this book, and
I need a rule book.
That's what started it.
Praise be to Josh. Yeah.
That was an interesting experience doing that. I had no idea it would lead to all of this. I think I still would have done it, but I had no clue.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'd still be, yeah. Well, I certainly enjoyed
the idea of the visual appeal of it.
It's a fun game, especially once you start activating by formations, activating by a lance at a time, and you have objectives and time limits. That really, for me, is what takes Alpha Strike to the next level, is lance activation and, like, objectives with time limits. That makes it so fun for me.
Yeah, I've seen a lot more objective play. Like, it's been in Classic, but I think there was a lot more just put two armies and last man standing wins. I've seen a lot more objective play in Alpha Strike, and I really love that.
It's fun. It's fun. We had one just a few weeks ago at the local game shop where my friend John was playing as the Blakus, defending a nuclear bomb that they planted. And then the coalition forces had like six turns to get in, and you had to be in base to base to defuse it, you know, find it first. And unfortunately, we did not succeed. So that city got nuked.
I am very sorry for that.
Yeah, can't win them all. Well, that's how it goes. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It's tense.
It's Battletech, you know, for you.
Yeah, that's true. Can't win them all. Sometimes the bad guys win. Like when the Wolves won the Ill Clan trial.
No, you started saying Jade Falcons.
He tried. He knew he'd get called out on that one.
Hazen did nothing wrong, guys. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. You're one of those Jade Falcons.
It's all fake news. Yeah.
Hashtag not my con.
Well, I appreciate the really kind of detailed look into the Force manuals, Josh, and also a brief glimpse into the Alpha Strike workings. And we really appreciate all your work on these things. You know, we all of us here play Alpha Strike. It's my preferred way to play now. And I'm really looking forward to digesting these manuals when they come out too. As a big kind of lore nerd, and you know, just trying to, yeah, it'll definitely help in building some more scenarios, you know, having very thematic kind of like unit composition. So I really do look forward to it.
Thank you. So, yeah. And it's and thank you for all that y'all are doing, because the running events, the talking about it, it is all a huge part of this as well. Just keeping people informed and playing is not just publishing books. So thank you.
Well, we can't get Ben to shut up, so figured may as well just record him, you know?
Good plan.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, he's got to publish too, so he's got to hit both sides.
That's true. It's true. Well, before you go, we got a little lightning round here for you. All right. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Just no hesitation. Just full speed ahead on these questions here. All right. So, favorite faction in the game?
Federated Suns.
Perfect. Favorite mech?
Warhammer. So the Inferno is taking over for that.
Nice. I know, right? Most hated faction. Who are your favorite bad guys?
Ooh, Blakeists.
That's a good one. All right. Who died too early? Who didn't deserve the death they got?
Melissa Steiner-Davian.
Oh, whoa. Okay. Nice one. Nice. All right. And then favorite sculpt of the new CGL minis?
Ooh. I got the jumping Highlander in front of me, so I'll go with that one.
The one crushing the Irby? It's a good one. All right. You've aced this exam. You're ready for the field of battle. Yeah. I too. So long as you didn't answer Blakeists as your favorite faction, you passed. So you've truly passed the flying colors here by making them your
favorite. They were meant to be hated. Like, if you don't hate them, you've missed the whole point, right?
I don't know. You see Celestial mechs out here. So.
Well, the mechs are cool. The faction's evil.
It's just the worst.
Yeah. That's like their whole
just
point.
The worst.
Just like you can the be worst. Fan of them, but you still got to admit they're the worst.
Well, it was a real pleasure having you on, Josh, and we really appreciate your work, diligence, and giving us a kind of a look behind the scenes of how it all comes together.
You're welcome.
So thanks for joining us for the past time, and to our listeners, hope you enjoyed. And
do you have any shout outs?
Shit faced it yet, then you should put a couple back, because that's what we do here at the club. Shout outs? Well, you're our guest here, Josh. Do you have a shout out?
Tried to mention everybody. Did I miss anybody? See, I got Matt, Jeff, mentioned Mark, mentioned artists. Oh, I should thank Keith and particularly Keith, because he's the one that dragged me into this. Keith Hanzottel is the one that first got me involved with Catalyst Game Lab, so I'm going to give a shout out to him. It's all his fault.
Nice. All right. Well, and Ben, how about you, buddy?
What's going shout on outs?
Ahead of yours? Yeah, yeah.
Man. We got to shout out Derek over at Ares Games and Minis.
Of course, yeah. Stand-up guy. Of course,
stand-up guy. You know, I put in another order I shouldn't have in record time. It's
where am I going to hide these minis?
Flying here. So,
yeah.
Shout out to Derek and all his stuff. And, you know, definitely go and check his website out, Ares Games and Minis.
Yeah, and if you're like me and you missed the Kickstarter train on these Force manuals, I'm sure Derek will be carrying them, and that's where I'll be getting mine.
Yep. You just got a good restock in of new Game of Armor combat boxes and some of the beginner's boxes, so make sure you
check those out. Are those the ones with the new 40th anniversary cover?
Yes, they are.
Nice. Neato Bobito. Yeah. All right.
Right now, but I'm sure he'll have more.
Also, the new Ares site looks amazing.
Yes. Yes, it does.
It's more user friendly. I think it's because it's a Shopify based. Is it Shopify?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's Shopify.
My call sign is Caveman, remember? Yeah. Yeah, what do I know?
It looks
that?
Nice.
Nice. All right, Michael, how about you? Who's your shout out for?
this month. My shout out's going to be for Brent from Oh Ma'am for joining me on the our interview with Russ.
Yeah.
We were geeking out, man. That was a lot of fun.
That's awesome, man.
Seth's running through MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries, the campaign, getting whoever joins him. They're actually in the Dropship 1 right now, going through the campaign as a full lance of co-op teammates. So he's streaming all that because he's never done the campaign before. So he's doing all that before the new game drops.
Right, before Clans.
Before Clans comes out, yeah. So he's getting that storyline now.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Shout out to those two dudes.
Yeah. And for myself, I got to shout out the Denver crew. We have some really talented and enthusiastic event organizers. Braden just ran another Blood Rite Trials. It was like a series of 1v1s in classic Battletech with the final winner earning a blood name and his campaign he's running for the Clan Invasion. Christian ended up winning that. He took the Jade Falcon Von Jankman name, which made me laugh pretty hard. I didn't even know that was an option. And we have a really enthusiastic crew here in Denver, and we're really fortunate to have them, and I'm super grateful for all the work they do, because sometimes, you know, the hobby, the fun, the game kind of does become a little bit of a job when you put so much work into it and preparing these events. And but without these guys and without their efforts, the community wouldn't be what it is. So thank you. Well, everyone, thank you, Ben, Mike, Josh, for joining me. This was a lot of fun. I always like geeking out. And cheers, boys. I'll catch you all later.
Last call.
Last call.
Ding, ding. Everyone go home. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us today in the Valhalla Club. If you'd like to hang out with us and many other Battletech podcasters, then be sure to join our Discord. Link is in the description. Special thanks to our sponsor, Ares Games and Miniatures. Ares is the premier online retailer for all your Battletech needs. If you would like to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thevalhallaclub. If you have any comments, please feel free to send an email to thevalhallaclub@outlook.com. Until next time, mech fans.